Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Just as we are, believe in you now. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, and draw us, Lord. We come here believing. We come here believing, oh God. Where else could we go? Lord, the world doesn't have the answers, Lord. Lord, you have the answers. Lord, you have a purpose, not only for us, but you have a purpose for mankind. And Lord, you're bringing us to that end. Let us not be asleep, but let us be awake, oh God. Let us be sober. Lord, the reality, Lord, that you're the creator. And you had something in mind when you created, oh God. And Lord, when you created us, you had something in mind. Lord, it has to be better than some of the roads that we traveled, oh God. But Lord, through Jesus Christ, you've opened up our hearts. And Lord, if there be anyone in here tonight that is still maybe seeking or searching or questioning, Lord, reveal yourself in a fresh way. But Lord, reveal yourself to each and every one of us, we pray now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God praise. Would you? Hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and get a hold of a Bible and sit down just for a moment. And you'll find the Bible in front of you. And I'm gonna ask that you turn to two books that are just right at the end of the Old Testament, okay? I can't tell you what page they're on because I'm sure that my Bible's different than your Bible. But just go to the end of the Old Testament to a book, Haggai. It's Haggai, and then Zechariah. They're right next door to each other. And the very next book is Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, okay? I just want to look at a few verses, and I just want to share a thought with you. It was something that got stirred in my heart this week, and I hardly had a chance to really dig into it, to be honest with you, but enough of it where I was stirred, and something happened in my faith when I read this. So it was a spark, and I thought, man, we need to just share that tonight. If I can't share all, at least we'll get started on it. Maybe we'll come back on this in the near future. But here's the thought, and I'll read the verses, and then I'll just share the thought. And when you look at the Old Testament, what we're looking at is we're looking at God's Word, first of all. Both the Old and the New Testament is God's Word, inspired by God's Spirit, written down by men just like you and me, women, but wrote it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But in the Old Testament, they're not just good stories. It's not just history, although it is history. And it's all of that, but it's more than that. What it is, it's God. We get insight into the character and nature of God. We get insight into the will of God and the purposes of God for mankind, which includes us. And part of that insight is understanding his will, but also understanding how man throughout the years have responded to God's will. And most of the time we find that man has tried to walk independent of God's will. So it's a story, and it reveals to us how that independency leads us not only away from God, but the consequences of us making choices not based on truth, but just based on whatever feels good, we do it. So we find that, the consequence, but then we find God's love and mercy and grace being extended to draw a man back again. And so you find that in the Old Testament. So it's revelation of God, it's a revelation to us today, and it's an advantage to us that we look at this and we say, wow, this is where they got off, and this is how they found themselves with their problems that they had, but this is also how they got back into step with God and the result of that and the blessings that came with that. So in Haggai, just chapter 2, first of all, and beginning with just verse 4, it says, the Lord is speaking now, but now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry ground. I will shake all nations. They will come with the wealth of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord. Now just jump over to the very next book in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4. In Zechariah chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. Verse 6 says, thus saith the Lord, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, say this with me, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? I'll just stop there. All right, here's the setting. In just a few moments, I want to share this thought, but hopefully it will build faith in our hearts to believe that God is more than willing to bring us to the place where he wants us to be. He is more than willing. Sometimes we think that maybe there's a reluctancy on God's part and that we have to convince God or we have to beg God to bring us into a place of freedom, a place of deliverance, a place of experiencing not only joy, but experiencing knowing his will and then walking in that will. That's what brings fulfillment to life. We don't have to beg God to do that. God already made the way possible. He's made the way possible for you. Now, I don't know what your thinking has been or maybe the kind of doubts that we've entertained or the fears we've entertained, but it doesn't come from God at all. God's will for you is to prosper. God's will for you is to walk in freedom. God's will for you is to have joy in your heart. God's will for you is to know and to experience his presence in such a way that you have a future and you know that future is a good future. Now, how many know that's a good feeling if you can walk in that? But this is God's will. This is what God wants. Children of Israel were led away captive by the Babylonians because of their rejection of God and his ways and actually their disobedience. God brought an enemy upon them and they led away captive. This is the time of the captivity, but almost toward the end of that captivity. They're living in Babylon. People like Daniel, you heard the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. So these people are living in Babylon. God begins to stir up hearts that it's time to go back to the land, rebuild the temple, come back and reoccupy the land that they had before, Jerusalem especially. So there was a stirring in the hearts of some people to go back. But here's the first thing that happened. And if you read these two books, you'll find this out, is that as God began to stir hearts, some of the people were reluctant to go back. And the reason they were reluctant to leave Babylon, now they're in captivity, they're away from their homeland, that they had settled in and had become accustomed to where they were living. And to even stir them to go back, it was almost like, well, you know, we got a little bit comfortable here now. We've got new friends, and I've got a job that at least we're eating. So they were lucky. About 42,000 of them made their way back. So when they went back, God told them to start rebuilding the temple. They were excited. These 42,000 people were excited. They were stirred in their heart. They were adventurous. They were enthusiastic. But when they saw how hard the work was, they began to get discouraged. In other words, they started out with enthusiasm. They started out believing this is a good thing. But when they saw the rubble and the ruin, they just begin to entertain thoughts like, wow, this is harder than we thought. And they became discouraged. And that's when the word of the Lord came to encourage them over and over again. Not only did they get discouraged, but during the time that they were gone, there were people from around Samaria, the Samaritans and other lands had come in to occupy Jerusalem, and they were squatters. But now the squatters were in the land, and they begin to claim their rights. And they begin to challenge the children of Israel in building the temple. Now, I want you to get this spiritual picture here, how that God wants to deliver us from Babylonian captivity, from our before we knew Christ. God wants to deliver us from that life. But, you know, some people just feel, you know, this is comfortable. And, you know, why you know, shake up things? Why stir the pot, if you will? Shake the boat. I mean, so some people are reluctant to move at all. But others are saying, man, let's get out of here. Let's go back to where we belong. This is what God wants. We're enthusiastic. And guess what? We go back and we're challenged by two things. Number one, the work's hard. Maybe we don't like to change our old ways. Some of you are following me. Maybe, you know, so it's a little harder than we thought. And we get a little discouraged, and because of there's so much work to do, and this walk of faith sometimes is challenging, you know, because, I mean, you know, it says to fight the good fight of faith. There's a battle sometimes to fight the battle of faith. So that, not only that, there's an enemy that's claiming squatters' rights. He's had that territory so long that he challenges you and say, what right have you to live free? What right have you to have joy in your life? What right have you to have a vision for your life? And he challenges, and there's this spiritual battle that goes on in our mind to challenge us, and he even claims a legal right. That's what they did. They went to the courts, and they said, we have a legal right. We've been here so long. And you know, that's exactly what the enemy is doing. He's trying to claim some legal right over your life. Now, guess what? It's up to you, really. God's already said what his will is. God's already provided a way for your deliverance. Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross, he conquered the enemy. He conquered the enemy. The enemy had a right over your life because you were living in disobedience and sin. He had a right over your life. He could claim that right. But when Jesus Christ came back and he died on the cross for your sin, the sinless one dying for sin became sin for us. He rose again for the, guess what? He took that right back from the enemy. And then everyone who accepts Christ as their Savior, listen, the enemy has no more right over you, but he's claiming that right. Now, how long are you going to let him do it? How long are you going to let him discourage you that, listen, this fight of faith is just too much? Listen, to me, it's well worth it because we forget where we've come from. We've got short memories. And I pray that, I'm always praying, Lord, remind me of where I was. Remind me of that path I was headed down. You know, when I get a little discouraged of the walk of faith, all I have to do is say, Holy Spirit, remind me where I was, and say, listen, I don't want to go back there anymore. Because the devil would have you believe that going back there is better than the walk of faith. Now, this walk of faith might not always be easy, but the end of this walk of faith is a lot better than the walk that I was in before. Because the road I was headed in before was destruction and eternal separation from God. The road that I was in before and the path that I was on before, it wasn't leading to happiness and joy. No, it was one high to another high, one experience to another experience, just looking for something to fill my life. Listen, I don't need something to fill my life anymore. I got Jesus. He's enough to fill your life. He's enough to fill your life. But there's this fight of faith that's going on. And I felt that the word was, listen, God wants you to be free. You don't have to live in depression. But somehow he's got some of you convinced that this is your lot in life. This is the way it's been, and I guess this is the way it's going to be. God doesn't want you to be lame. He doesn't want physically, he wants to set you free. By his stripes we were healed. And the enemy is trying to claim legal rights in that area. Squatter's rights, if you will. The enemy was living so long in your life that he's going to claim, hey, listen, you know, you've done it this way before, you're going to keep doing it. And we need to begin to point our finger at the enemy and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to let it happen anymore. I'm not going to let it happen anymore. There's an interesting verse, and I don't have time to turn to it, but in Habakkuk, which is just going back a little bit further, but a contemporary at the same time. Let me read that in chapter 2, verse 22. God said, I will shake the heavens and the earth, similar to what he said here, what we just read. He said, I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. The word that he's speaking there not only was to the children of Israel, but I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. That's speaking about the throne of Satan that he had over the kingdoms of this world. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to overthrow that throne of Satan that he had over all the kingdoms of this world, and he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll reign supreme over all things. That's our lot. That's where we're headed. Now, I simply wanted to say all that to let you know that the work that God has begun in you, he wants to complete it. He wants you to walk in health. He wants you to walk in with your mind free. And I'm not just talking about physical healings tonight, although I've got a belief for physical healings tonight. But there's these other things that Jesus died for. And that's freedom in our minds and better relationships. You can have better relationships. So we're gonna do that. But we want to share a testimony. Would you come on up here just a second? Here's a testimony. Do I have a mic here? I heard this. Come on over here. Bless you for coming too. Just 3 weeks ago, you might want to just tell that a little bit, what's taken place, so I won't take your time, and I just want to show you what happened. She has a testimony not only of healing, but in the midst of her life, what's been happening on her life, Ina has, I'll let you share it. Go ahead, I'll hold it.
Thank you. A couple of weeks ago, my husband passed away unexpectedly. He went without any warning of any physical problems. He was having a normal day. We were having lunch. We were happy. We went to the barn where we keep our horses, and he saddled up his horse, and he was smiling and waving to people he hadn't seen for a week, and all of a sudden, he was gone.
And I want to inject here that her husband played pilot at the Easter play. And this is the first year he was in the Easter play.
That's right.
And just a glorious time, and just unexpectedly passed away. But we know where he is, and we know
do.
His healing has
we
come.
Do.
But something has happened to you, and I want you to tell about what's happened to you.
I do want to talk about 19 years ago when I was diagnosed with MS. And for over that 19 years, the Lord brought about a slow healing. It wasn't the healing, miraculous healing that I wanted, instant results. But year by year, I was getting better. And I came to a Wednesday evening service about a year ago. And at that service, it was much like this one. And at the end, they offered prayer for healing. And I felt great that night. I didn't have pain anywhere. I just felt on top of the world. So when I saw a lot of people come forward, I headed for the door to go home because I had things I needed to do at home yet. But as I got out to the foyer, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, you need to go back in and let them pray for you. And I said, why? And he said, you can't run. And I reminded him that I never did like to run. But he was so persistent that I came back up, and there was only one person standing up there that didn't have a line of people to pray for. So I went to him, and I said, "Do you have enough faith to believe for healing for MS?" And he said, "Yeah," and wanted to know what my problems were. And I was a little embarrassed because my problems at the time physically were so minute that I thought, I felt embarrassed that I had come forward and like, what else could the Lord possibly bless me with, was my attitude. So I said, "Well, how about a creative miracle? I could use a new spine because that's what is affected by the MS. And he was just so full of faith and so positive and said, "I absolutely can believe for that for you." And he prayed, and after he and another lady had prayed for me, they wanted to know if I'd be willing to try to run, because that had been the one thing I'd told them that I couldn't do. So they latched onto me, and I clawed my fingers into their arms, and we went down the aisle back and forth, and it wasn't pretty, but I was running for the first time in I don't know how many years, really. So, apart from here, and I know I would not have made it through the sanctuary without holding on, I tried on my own, and I didn't notice any change and wasn't really able to run normally. So I just kind of pushed it out of my mind, and I thought, well, the Lord is not content for me to be content with the physical problems I was left with after the main attack that I had. And it ties in so well. I didn't know what Pastor George was going to speak about, staying in bondage and being willing to be there. But I did have physical symptoms other than not being able to run. But I had grown comfortable with the health that I was enjoying because it was so much better than where I'd been when I first got sick. But I realized that he wanted me entirely well. And 2 months after they had prayed for me, we had bought new horses, and they were young ones and not really well trained. But the first day that we got the Tennessee Walker up in Fort Lupton, I went up to walk the horse and to spend some time with him. And I started out in the pasture with him, and it was a great day. The horse was listening and doing everything I wanted him to and walking behind me, and all of a sudden I felt a jerk on my arm. And so I hurried up and looked back, and here he was in a full rear. He looked like Roy Rogers' Trigger. And I popped him with the lead rope, which he's supposed to respond by going back down to the ground and straightening up. Well, he didn't do that. He stayed reared, and he jerked his head and got away from me in the pasture. So while he was running, it was all fenced in. I was worried that he might trip on his lead rope and break something or get hurt in some way. But I was just praising the Lord. Thank you for this horse. This horse is beautiful. Look at its mane and tail. It was flying in the breeze, and he was like, "Hey, man, I'm free. I'm going for it." And it was just a time that I was sharing with the Lord and thanking him for the blessing that he had given me. And I lost track of Cooper for a few seconds, and I thought, where'd he go? So I looked over this little mound that was about 50 yards from me, and I saw Cooper running up the mound straight at me at a full gallop with his nostrils flared, his ears pinned back, and his eyes bloodshot. And just for a split second, I thought I was going to die because I knew there was no way he was going to get stopped, or I didn't think he wanted to either. So guess what I did? I ran. And I would not have been able to run and dive under the fence and roll under it 2 months earlier because I know that the healing began whenever I was obedient to what the Holy Spirit told me to do, even though to me it didn't seem important that I be able to run. But I really want to encourage you, because I think it is so special and so important that the pastor and the staff here offer the opportunity for you to have prayer for healing and to believe God for you, because it's about faith. It's about their faith combining with your faith. But in the end, it's not really your faith. It's Jesus that's going to heal you and that wants you well. And he doesn't want for you to be satisfied with being left with some hangovers from a previous attack of anything. He loves you. He wants you well. And there's nothing more that I could add to that, that I just hope that you'll take the opportunity to come and be prayed for.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Now, I don't know how you're processing that, but when I heard this, I thought, you know, I don't think that was just all coincidence, that timing of coming up and never running before, and those people who were praying for him said, would you run with us? But who would have known that just 2 months later or something, this horse would have been chasing, she would have been running for her life. I mean, could froze, but I guess you could do a lot of things when you're running for your life. I don't know, it's a lot of... So your faith was in action right then, but here's the point of this evening, the word and hearing the testimony, is that, listen, don't settle for anything less than all that God has for you. So I believe that God has given us his word so that we can look at it, we could read it. He said to pray. He said, if there be any sick among you, pray. He's told us that we're to believe for our healings, we're to look to Jesus in that completed work. It's already done. We don't have to muster up our faith. It's already done. So we want to pray. Would you stand as we move into this time? One of the things that we felt was important, I'm going to ask those who are going to be helping with praying to come and kind of make your way up here and just kind of mill around up here. Well, we said we want to pray for children. So I want to start out right with that. So I know there are some children that are here, and we want to be able to pray for you. So would you come on up right now, our children that are here, that parents have brought them, and we wanna pray for them. And
we hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.